Welcome to River Life Podcasts. We're a church family embracing the Father's presence, releasing empowered people to declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom. We trust that God would use what you hear today to bless and grow you so that you would be a blessing to those around you. For more information about River Life Baptist Church, go to riverlifechurch.org.au or find us on social media.
Well, if you don't know me, I'm Emily and I am the kids pastor here at River Life. Thank you so much. And so it's wonderful to get to be here today and to share. I hope you've enjoyed our service so far this morning. It's just wonderful. I absolutely love the opportunity to get to be together as a whole family, like in one room. We're a whole family every week, but we're in separate rooms. And today we get to all be together. So when we hear those crying babies and those siblings arguing, we will embrace it and we will love it because it's family and that's where we get to be today. And today as well, Grandparents' Day. Can we hear it for our grandparents in the room today? We love our grandparents and we honor you, grandparents. You play such an important role, as we've heard, in the lives of your families, but in the wider church as well. So we just love to take this chance to celebrate you, and I'm hoping that you will be encouraged today as well. Well, like I said, I love being together as family and celebrating family. And it's almost like, you know, we could picture that we're coming together around a big family table here this morning. And so you could even picture like yourself at a table and everybody is represented at the table today, from great grandma or grandpa through to the little baby and everyone in between, which is so exciting. But I thought maybe we could take a moment now to get to know everybody at that table a little bit better this morning. So I want to introduce you to the generations that we have here today. I think there's a graphic which tells us a little bit about the generations that we might have here today. This is a couple years old, so add a couple of years onto each of those ages, and that's who we might have here. And I thought we might get to know each one a little bit better. So actually not represented in this graphic is our eldest generation alive today, and that is the founding generation, or the Federation generation, as we might be known. And I'm just interested to see if there's anybody actually here today that might fall into this generation. So anybody who was born before 1925, is there anyone here today born before 1925? That's okay. I see a lot of kids' hands. Yeah, great. Thank you. Well, still, there are still some people around today who were born before 1925. So today there are 95 plus year olds. And they are the oldest living generation on Earth. They fought through two wars and lived through the Great Depression. And some things from this era include things like the wireless radio, the early motor vehicles, and early aircrafts as well. So we honor the Federation generation this morning, the founding generation. I think there'll be some of these people here. Our next generation is the builder generation, or as they're sometimes called, the greatest generation. So this is anyone born between 1925 to 1945, so roughly 75 to 95 years old. Is there anybody here this morning from the greatest generation? Wonderful. Here are our grandparents, currently Australia's senior generation. These guys were born during the Depression and war years and into a time of poverty and joblessness. And so maybe because of that, they're known for their strong work ethic and their strong core values of respect and loyalty and commitment. And you are a reserved and stable generation. And you built much of the infrastructure of the world that we see around us today. Some things from your era, things like roller skates and jazz and Frank Sinatra. So we honor you this morning, our builders, our builder generation. Our next generation, this is a big one. Do we have any baby boomers in the house this morning? Any baby boomers? Yes, we love our boomers. You are also known as the love generation. I don't know if you've heard that before. So these are born between about 1946 to 1964 at the end of the war, because as we know, your parents came home and there was a post-war baby boom, hence you're known as the baby boomers. So you're roughly 56 to 74 years old, and you are the largest generation in history. During the era that you were born, Australia's population doubled. There is a lot of you. You're also the work hard, play hard generation. So you are known for your work ethic, but you also are known for wanting to take time to enjoy life as well. And especially now that you are retiring, or beginning to retire, or are retiring in massive droves, you want to live it up a little bit. Because as you might tell us, as you the boomers would tell us, you've worked hard, so you deserve it. You are our grey nomads, and you are the wealthiest generation alive. You are largely responsible for the huge technological advancements of recent decades. And this is interesting. Your generation changed what family looks like. Before the boomers, most women in families would stay home and look after the children. When the boomers came, your generation changed that, and we saw the beginning of two working parent families. Some things from your era are colour TV, cassette tapes, Elvis, and the Beatles. So boomers, we love you, we honour you this morning. Also here today, I'm sure, are some Gen X's, Generation X, who became known as Generation X because they don't like labels and they'll be whatever they want to be, thank you very much. So we just call them Gen X. You were born roughly between 1965 to 1979, so 40 to 55 years old, and currently in your mid-life, fantastic for you. You guys coined the term whatever, and you grew up in the disco age. I think this is interesting. You can be a fairly suspicious bunch. You're not as trusting as the generations that came before you. You like to question things more. You're not afraid to question or to change things that have always been the way they have been. Gen X's married later in life than their parents, but they highly value family. And unlike the boomers before them, who tended to be a little on the workaholic side, Gen X's like to strive for that family-life balance, and they're very involved in their kids' lives. Gen X's are currently moving into the executive roles of our society as the boomers are retiring. Some things from your era: VCRs, early computers, Walkman, Madonna, and ET. So thank you, Gen X's. We have our Gen Y's as well. This is my generation, or as you might know us, the millennials. Can I hear it for the millennials? Yeah. That's right. We are born from 1980 to about 1994, so we are currently roughly 25 to 40 years old. Our generation was born into relatively peaceful times and a peaceful world compared to that of the generations before us. So we grew up in fairly stable and good times, which makes us pretty optimistic. We're a pretty optimistic bunch. We also grew up with abundance. Lots of stuff, thanks to our grandparents and our parents who provided so much for us that they didn't necessarily have. But what that means is that we're pretty used to an extravagant lifestyle, and we're not so good at waiting to get what we want, because let's face it, we didn't have to wait for much as kids. We are the most well-traveled generation, but that's starting to slow down now as the Gen Ys and millennials are having babies and navigating parenthood. We currently make up over 30% of the workforce, although we don't have quite the work ethic of the generations before us, maybe because we place a high value on fun and pleasure. Other things that we value really highly are things like diversity, equality, the climate, collaboration. We love to share. Proof of this is things like Airbnb and Uber. That's totally our jam. Generation Y, they don't value so much institutions, so the institution of religion doesn't rate so highly for us, but we are very interested in things of a spiritual nature, very spiritual generation, more than the generations before us. Some things from our era include internet. I can hear that dial tone in my ear. Mobile phones, PlayStations, DVDs, the Spice Girls, and the Backstreet Boys. We are the millennials. That's right. We have as well in the room today Generation Z. Generation Z, or they're called the global generation, or the connected generation, you might know them as. These guys were born between 1995 to 2009, and they are currently our 11 to 25-year-olds. So they are our youth and young adults of right now. This generation, Gen Z, will be the most educated generation in history, with one in two, half of these kids, going to uni, as opposed to one in four Gen Xers who went to uni. Older Gen Zs are currently finishing up study and heading into the workforce, and the rest are going to follow over the next decade or so. The reason they are known as the global generation is because they are a generation that is so connected globally. They are so aware of their world because they are so connected, so they are very collaborative and aware. Gen Z is the most materially endowed generation and the generation that was raised the most indoor of any generations. They are also known as the tech natives, because as opposed to their grandparents and their parents even, who had to learn to navigate technology later in life, these kids have been exposed to technology from the get-go, and so to them it is like a native tongue. Some things from their era include Apple, Instagram and Snapchat and all of that stuff, Justin Bieber and Taylor Swift. These are our youth and young adults, our Gen Zs at the moment. We have as well, and I will introduce you to our alpha generation, Generation Alpha, or the Alpha Kids. So we've moved now into the Greek alphabet. Do we have any Alpha Kids here today? Is there anybody who was born since 2010? Yeah, here they are, we're in the room today. So they're currently our 0 to 10-year-olds, and you are the children of the millennials. You were born since 2010 and up until about 2025, so they are still coming. These kids are growing up in a fast-paced digital world. That's the world they know, and they will know full digital integration in their lives. These kids will never know a time before the iPad. iPad was invented or came out in 2010, so they live in an iPad world. They are probably the only generation here today, in the room here today, who will live to see the 22nd century. So there you go. Some things from your era, things like iPads, virtual reality, Frozen, artificial intelligence, so the robots are coming. This is the future, and these are the Alpha Kids. So we love you, Alpha Kids. We love our kids here today. So this is everybody who's seated at our family table here this morning. And actually, for the first time in history, this is the first time in history that six generations have been alive together and seated at that table. So that's pretty incredible that we have that happening, I think, anyway. Yeah, it's pretty great. One of the things that you might have noticed when I was going through those generations is that the time frame of each generation is actually growing smaller and shorter. Where a generation, like the Federation generation, for example, once encompassed like a 25-year plus time period, that is now shortened to about 15 years and will probably continue to grow even smaller over time. And the reason for this is that the world is changing so fast that what characterizes a generation is changing so fast, so we have to make them smaller so that we can know who they are and what characterizes them. I want to show you a graphic that's going to come up on the screen, and it illustrates just how fast the world is changing at the moment. So you can see that for hundreds of years, change was just like a really slow progression. Really slow, in fact, not really much progression at all. And after the war years, you can see that things started to change a little bit. Change became faster. There was some significant revolutions that took place around then, but nothing compared to around the late 90s and early 2000s, where things took off. Change took off at a rate where, like, all we do now is do nothing but change. That's all we do. So if you've ever felt like you're struggling to keep up a little bit, if you've ever felt like, wow, this is all happening so fast, well, that might be why. We know nothing but change. In fact, it is predicted that that if it keeps going how it will, which it will, that the rate of change will soon become infinite. Infinite change. Whoa. Am I right? Wow. Like, we're not in Kansas anymore. Do you know what I mean? It gives a new expression to the meaning, times have changed. Yes, they have. And they are going to keep changing fast. It's not slowing down. So feel free to take a moment now and take a deep breath if you're just feeling a little overwhelmed. And let's all just say in one voice, oh, we're totally fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's totally fine. I'm not even worried. Like, it's totally fine. We're fine. This is the world that we live in. This is the world we live in. This is the world our kids are growing up in. This is the world that we minister in as well. Let me give you just a little bit more. Looking a little closer to home now at the Australian church, looking a little closer at us. So this graphic it tells us about how two-thirds of the Australian church is currently over the age of 50. Two-thirds of the Australian church, so maths means that one-third, therefore, is under the age of 50 in the Australian church. The majority of our church leaders in Australia are baby boomers, which means that they are retiring, and we're going to see a massive leadership shift. In fact, it is happening as the boomers hand over to the X's in the Australian church. A study done in 2012 found that two-thirds of young people who are growing up in church are leaving the church. And half of them are abandoning faith altogether. And actually, a study done last year, 2018, done in Australia, a few of us had the privilege of going to a conference this past week to hear these findings. This was a study done by Barna Group. They actually found that in Australia, 71% of young people who are growing up in church are dropping out. And half of those are abandoning faith altogether. Or as Barna described them, they're the prodigals. 71% are dropping out, and half of those are abandoning faith altogether. This is really, really important stuff that we need to pay attention to. In 2001, Steve Raby wrote a book, and it was really forward-thinking, actually, for its time. It's called In Search of Authentic Faith. And in it, he says, the church is only a generation away from extinction. The church is only one generation away from extinction. It only takes one generation to give up on church, and we could be gone. That is something, church, we need to pay attention to. That's something we need to pay attention to. I want to encourage you, though, for a moment, that River Life, here at home, here at River Life, we actually don't follow this trend. Actually, here at River Life, over half of our attendees are under the age of 18. Which is incredible. It's absolutely wonderful. It's wonderful. But also, it is not the reality for so many Australian churches. So we need to look at that as an opportunity. This is an opportunity that we still have. Like, I don't tell you this, that we're doing pretty great here at River Life so that we can sit back and relax and go, oh, sweet, like, we're fine here. Like, sorry about those other churches, you know, struggling a little bit, but we're fine here at River Life. No, absolutely not. I don't tell you for that reason. I tell you this because we still have an opportunity. We still have an opportunity that so many other churches in Australia have lost and are now like scrambling at the 11th hour to turn that like sinking ship around. But we're not there yet. We still have an opportunity, but we need to sit up and pay attention. We do. We need to pay attention to this because we are not immune to what is happening in the wider Australian church. We need to take the opportunity while we have it to actually invest in the young people that we still have here. We need to. We need to train them up. We need to love them. We need to encourage them and show them the way of faith. In fact, I believe that this is not just an opportunity that we have. I believe that this is a mandate given to us through Scripture. Over and over and over again through Scripture, God commands His people to teach and to train the next generation so that His message may continue on. Today I want to look at Peter, who talks about this as well. He instructs the early church of the New Testament in the same way. So in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter instructs, he's writing to the church, and in verses 1 to 3, he addresses the elders. He says, to the elders among you in the church, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share the glory to be revealed. And I just want to point out here before we go on, it's really important to note that when Peter here is talking to the elders in the church, he's actually not just talking to Jason and to Emma and to Rob and to Marty and the elders of a church. The Greek word, the original language here for elder, actually means, it literally means advanced in life, or to the old people among you in the church. It's Peter's words and not mine. To the old people, to the advanced in life among you in the church, this is what he says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. To the elders among you, he says. To the advanced in life among you, watch over the flock who is under your care and be examples to them. I'm pretty sure this is obvious, but I'm going to say it anyway. When Peter says here to care for your flock, he isn't referring just to your family and your relatives. He's referring to the church. He's spelling it out for us. Older generations in the church, you have a responsibility to care for our younger generations, to watch over them, to set an example for them, to teach them. You know, it's really interesting, I think, that that same study I was talking about before that found that two-thirds of young people, 71% of young people are leaving our churches that who grew up in church, the study found that the number one question that kids are asking when they decide whether they're going to stay in church and commit to this faith thing for the long haul or if they're going to skip town, the number one question these kids are asking is, does it work? Does it work? And where do you think they look to find the answer to that question? Where do you think they look? They're looking at us. They look at us and they ask, is it working for them? They look at us and they ask, is church and faith actually making any kind of difference to them? And by the way, you need to know as well that kids these days have been finely tuned to sniff out fake and to sniff out inauthenticity. They've been finely tuned. So when they look at us, they ask, is this actually something real and something meaningful for us? And like, to be honest, judging by the statistics and by what we're seeing happening with young people in our churches, they are not loving what they are seeing. Fake Christianity is the biggest turnoff of all to young people. Hypocritical or inauthentic Christians who do the Sunday mask thing, it sends kids running in the other direction. It's the truth. Peter says, set an example for the flock. Set an example of faith for these children. Set an example of what a life lived in God's will actually looks like. Set an example of what a life lived with the Holy Spirit actually looks like. Set an example of what a life lived transformed by Jesus actually looks like. Like for reals. Like really. Like in the good times and in the hard times and in all of the times. What does it actually look like? Let's face it, these kids, they live in a world of like so many options. Like these kids have got like a smorgasbord of options in front of them, of choices they can make and decisions to make, and it's kind of overwhelming really, but there is so much in front of them. So they need to know that what we have here is real. That what we have here actually satisfies. That it actually fulfills. Like nothing that they're going to find in the world. Like nothing the world's going to offer them. We need, church, we need to show them the way. It is our God-given mandate. In Judges chapter 2, a tragedy occurs. This is Joshua, the Joshua who received that baton from Moses and then served Israel so faithfully for his generation, and he carried that legacy so beautifully, but he's at the end of his time now. And then things don't go so well for Israel. So this is Judges chapter 2, verse 6 to 13. It says, after Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, They went to take possession of the land, each to their own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at age 110. Pretty awesome. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the people around them. They aroused the Lord's anger because they forsook him and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. A whole generation did not know the Lord and were given over to their sinful ways. I know I'm the kids pastor in the room today, but I don't think I'm alone in thinking that this is a horrible tragedy. This is a horrible tragedy. And frankly, it is a real risk that we still face today, a generation of faithlessness. But I also don't believe that that has to be our story. And I don't believe that this is going to be our story, but we have to fight for our young generations, church. We have to fight. Now, more than ever, you saw that graph, this crazy world that these kids are growing up in, we have to fight now for them more than ever before. We can't ignore this and we can't pretend that it isn't the reality. So grandparents, those advanced in age here among us today, the builders and the boomers and the Gen Xers and the millennials as well, will you fight for these kids? Will you fight for these kids? Will you show them the way? And I know it sounds like this massive weight of like responsibility has landed on our shoulders, but actually, if we all commit to this, if we become like the village to these kids, if we become the church for these kids, then actually we all bear it, and it's going to be easier than we realize. But it is not the job of a few. It is the job of all of us. I know it sounds like a massive weight, but we can carry it together. I want you to think back to the early days of your youth. When you were a kid, when you were a teenager, when you were a young adult, navigating this whole thing. Who inspired you? Can you picture that person or those people? Who took an interest in you? Who came alongside you? Who gave you their time? Who encouraged you? For me, I can think of a whole bunch of people. I can think of particularly some teachers, some kids' church leaders, some youth leaders, pastors and mentors, and just like random people who prayed for me at different times and encouraged me. But these people, they don't realize the huge difference that they made to me, to my faith, to where I am today. Who did that for you? Can you picture them now? And then here's what I want you to do. Be that for somebody else. Be that for somebody else, somebody younger. Be an encourager, be a mentor, be a friend, be a surrogate grandparent. You have no idea the simple gift, like you have no idea the simple gift of your time, what that the difference that that's going to make to kids in the long run, for the long haul. It's huge. We heard before that these younger generations, they're not so interested in religion, in the institution of religion. People have lost a lot of trust in the church, and we see that a lot in the younger generations. But they are really interested in spirituality. They are really interested in things of a spiritual nature. And this, my friends, is where the hope is. There's been a lot of kind of sad news to this point, but I want to give you some hope. There is absolutely hope, and this is where it is. These kids, They want to know spiritual things. They want to be connected spiritually. They're looking to explore like deeper meaning and connection, and they want to be a part of something that is bigger than themselves. That's what we're finding. Like, hello, that's us. We have got the answers to those questions. We do. Christianity, at its core, it's not religion. At its core, it is our spirits connecting with and communing with God's. That's what we do. It's Jesus saving our souls and offering us eternity. That's what we offer. It is fulfillment and fullness as we connect with a narrative that is so much bigger than ourselves. That's what Christianity is. That's what we offer. These kids, they are searching for meaning, and they are searching for more than what the world is offering them. And we have the answers. Jesus says, we know, everybody knows this, Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is only one way, and we know that way. The way that they're looking for, we know that. We have the answers that they're searching for. I know it can be so difficult, and I think that if we're honest with ourselves, this might be the biggest barrier of all. I know it can be so difficult to connect with the world that these kids are growing up in, with the world that these kids are living in, and it's really easy to feel irrelevant. Like, what can I really offer? But what can we offer? We have the answers that they are looking for. We do. We know God. We know Jesus. And that is who they are looking for. We've got the answers. We're not, absolutely not irrelevant. They are so hungry for what we have. So I want to encourage you this morning, please, don't check out from our younger generations. Lean in. Lean in. You know, our young generations as well, they are the most, as we heard, connected of all of the generations. But studies are showing, what is emerging now in the research is that even though they are the most connected globally kind of generation, they are also the most anxious, the most disconnected, and the most lonely generation. So that smorgasbord that we were talking about before, all of these options that they have in front of them, everything, all of the promises that the world is offering them, actually it's coming up short. That's what we're starting to realize. It's coming up short. I know sometimes it feels like, you know, like look at everything that these kids have. Look at everything that we have to compete with to get their attention. Like, they're just like entertained 24/7. They've got a device permanently attached to their hands. Like, how do we compete with that? But actually, I don't think that we need to compete with that. I think that that stuff is starting to fail them. And so now we need to stand in the gap. We need to stand in the gap of where that is falling short. Because that is what we offer. That is where we come in. This is what we offer. We offer connection where they are feeling disconnected, like real connection, like real face-to-face people in a room connection, the real stuff. We offer encouragement. Encouragement in a world that is so like anonymous, face-to-face, real encouragement for who this person actually is. And we can offer relationship that these kids are so hungry for, that the world actually isn't giving them. So I want to encourage you this morning, please, don't check out from these young generations. Lean in. Lean in. Because our young people need us now more than ever. I really believe that now more than ever. We are a family here in our church at River Life, and family shows up for each other. That's what we do. So I want to urge you today not to check out, not to think that I'm irrelevant or that I can't really connect with these kids or they don't really want to connect with me. Don't buy into that lie. Don't think that you've worked really hard all your life now and so it's time to check out and let somebody else do the work. Don't buy into that lie, because that's not going to work for our young people. It's not going to work for them. Like, there is too much at stake here for our young people. They need us. They need you. So please don't check out. Lean in. I want to finish with this. So in his old age, David wrote a psalm, Psalm 71. And in it, he captures this beautiful sentiment that I would love for us to capture as well here this morning. So this is Psalm 71 in verse 17 and 18. He says, since my youth, God, you have taught me, And to this day, I declare your marvelous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. Even when I am old and gray, Lord, even when I am advanced in age, even when I am an old person and I don't know how to connect, Lord, allow me to declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. Church, my prayer is that this would be our heart too. Would this be our heart as well? That our older generations at River Life would not check out, that we would lean in, actually, for our young people. That we would cry, our time is not over yet. We are not done yet. There is still so much to give. There is so much to teach. There are so many to encourage. That we might declare to the next generation the power of God, a God who can answer their biggest questions, a God who wants to commune with their spirits, a God who is bigger than the anxiety and the depression and the loneliness of our age. Would the grandparents and the parents and the aunties and the uncles and the older generations of our church, would we stand up for these young people and would we say, we will not lose you. We will not lose you. We will love you. We will encourage you. We will show up for you and we're going to show you the way. We have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to shape the next generation. We have that opportunity. Will you lean in? How? How are we going to do this? The opportunities are limitless, really. We have a kids ministry. We have youth and young adults who need mentoring. That is a real need that we have. These kids, they need prayer. Look at the world that they live in. These kids, they need prayer. So if you can pray, pray. Just engage with a young person. I still remember just random conversations, like I don't even know who these old people were, but they come and they talk to me and they share with me and they encourage me, and they didn't even realize that that was a moment where I actually like had the guts to then make the decision that God was calling me to make. Like, you have no idea the power of just connecting with and having a conversation and encouraging a young person. Really importantly, be real. We need to show up, but we need to be real. We need to be authentic in the good times and in the bad times, what faith actually looks like. And take a young person with you as well. Just like bring him in to what you're doing. If you're at street teams, you already serve in that ministry, how can you bring a young person with you into that or engage with a young person who's there? When you're in the foyer and hosting, how can you go out of your way to engage with a young person there and make them know that they are welcome here just as much as the adults here as well? Just take a young person with you. How can you engage with young people just where you are? And my challenge would be for you today as well to engage with a young person who isn't your blood, who isn't your family, because we are all family. We need to be village for these kids, so not just our blood. But most importantly, would you lean in for young people? Would you show up for young people? Because this isn't just the job of a few. This is the job of the whole church. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you just so much for our grandparents, for our parents, for the advanced in life, for the older generations among us today who make this huge difference for us, who have so much power in our lives to encourage us and uplift us and empower us. God, thank you for them. Thank you for their generosity and for their service and for how much they already give. God, thank you. God, I pray that they would know, that they would capture even just a glimpse of how important that is in your kingdom work, God, in the long haul of the faith of these young people. And God, I pray that we as a church, that we as River Life Baptist Church, that we would be a people who are just known for this like abundance of young people that we have here, who are so engaged, who are just so connected, who are like not anxious, not depressed, not facing some of these battles that so many of the kids of, in our world are battling today, but not here, because this is a place, God, where you are, where their questions are answered, and where their older generations are connecting and engaging with these young people, where they make them feel welcome, where they say, we want you here. You're an important part of this family. God, I pray here at River Life that we would just have such a passion, that it would be so close to our heart, that we will not let our young people go, that we would just build them up and encourage them and love them. God, help us to lean in, even when it's scary, even when it's outside our comfort zones, even when it feels awkward. Help us to lean in, because Jesus, you love these children so much. They are so important to you and so close to you, and these kids, these are the future generations who will lead our world, and we just so desperately want them and need them to know you, Jesus. So God, I pray that they would. I pray that our kids, I pray a blessing over our kids here at River Life. Lord Jesus, that they would grow up knowing you, that they would grow up surrounded by so much love and support and empowerment, Lord. And that they would truly know you and lead into a crazy world, but with a really firm foundation of you and a church family who loves them. Thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you for what you're doing. You are so good and so gracious to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this River Life podcast. Make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with all the latest content. If this podcast has raised any questions for you, contact us via church@riverlifechurch.org.au or through Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.